Heavenly Twins, the best known astronauts in the whole program.
Britannia, this is Control. You are on your onboard computer, over.
Roger, out.
T-minus 17 seconds.
But here we are, waiting to go into orbit. Aren't you just a little teeny bit thrilled?
5, 4. We have made it in Star 2-1-0. Solid rocket booster ignition. Lift up.
I bet they turned with bloody frankfurters.
Orbital Decay by J.C. Wilshire.
T plus 46 minutes, 34 seconds. Control, this is Britannia. We have orbital maneuvering system cut off. We have achieved orbit. Over.
Roger, Britannia. We copy.
Oh, hey, here we are. Oh, boy, this is a real thing. I can feel it.
What?
Nothing. I mean, no weight. Weightlessness. Zero gravity. Neil, can I release my harness?
Yeah, don't start doing a Peter Pan all around the flight deck.
No, it's just I'm a little queasy. I guess I have to use the sandbox.
Well, keep in touch.
Huh? Oh, sure.
She's very highly qualified.
Yes.
PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Highest scoring member of the 1990 crew training intake.
Yes.
More right to be here than we have.
I know.
Well, then.
I haven't done her any harm.
She senses your hostility, Buzz.
I'm not hostile.
You're not positive. You're not sharing this experience with her supportively.
I don't want to share her experience. I don't want to be here at all.
Oh, well, it's your indifference that she sensed, then.
I think we should do some checks.
We could check the waste correction system. Mission Specialist, this is the Commander. Glad to hear you have your intercom plugged in down there, Peggy Sue. This is a waste collection system check. Over.
Roger, Neil. Looks good. Out.
And, of course, a very special hello to Mom and Dad and Auntie Betty and all the folks down there in Climax, Michigan, not forgetting an old mongrel called Slap.
She's making this up.
And a very big thank you to a little lady with bifocals and her hair tied back in a bun who first taught me differential calculus in a little wooden schoolhouse.
Don't forget the punchline.
Oh, my buddies and I on the satellite recovery program are here to make sure you have safety in your skies by locating and neutralizing hazardous orbital material. We come in peace for all mankind. I'll see y'all real soon.
Control, this is Britannia closing down at the end of day one of our mission. Over.
Roger, Britannia. Sleep tight. Out.
Don't you guys have any personal messages for the folks back home?
We don't have any folks back home.
That's why we're so famous.
That's why we're here.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. It's just the kind of thing you say without thinking.
Forget it. You're not that sensitive.
That's another reason why we're here.
What a dumb thing for me to say. So far in this mission, all I've done is act dumb. Woo!
Not a good idea, stamping your foot in zero gravity.
Well, okay, just go ahead and laugh.
Don't get upset now. Neil and I, well, being twins and everything, we can make things difficult for other people without really meaning to.
Well, look, would you think I was even more of a dummy if I asked you a really big favor?
Not at all.
What can we do for you?
No, it's a crazy time to ask.
Come on, we won't bite.
Well, will you let me hear the tape?
Dad's tape? Have we told you about that?
Well, it's common knowledge that Dad left the tape, Buzz. It's part of our legend.
Neil, what do you think? It wouldn't do any harm, I suppose, would it?
Oh, well, we're big boys now, eh, Brother Buzz? Well, why not?
Now, I want you to know that I would approach this thing in a very respectful frame of mind.
Yes. Well, it takes people in different ways. It's in here. Got it.
It's not a bad recording for 25 years ago. Mind you, Dad had some very good audio equipment.
Well, I guess so, being a musician. He was kind of like one of the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, wasn't he?
He wasn't exactly like that.
Yeah, he did have a following.
Oh, yes, he had that, all right. As I remember, it more or less explains itself.
Listen, tranquility base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger, tranquility. We've got to be on the ground. We got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again.
This is like the 20th of July, 1969, and I want to kind of record a message for my unborn children. Now, the thing is, you're upstairs now, sleeping. Whoa, your mother's sleeping. You're doing your own thing, swimming around in the old amnesiac fluid. And right now, men are landing on the moon. I've been sitting up with a bottle of Shivas and a pound of jelly babies to see it happen. It doesn't look like much so far, but you have to use your imagination. Because this is important, man. I mean, this is history. Oh, that's good shit, man. Maybe I should put some down for you, like vintage port. I don't know if it lasts. I scored it off the freak who customized the transit. You know, I reckon you were conceived in the back of that transit. Twins. You know what I said when they told me it was going to be twins? I said, like, that's something else, man. You see, I mean, I think all this happening at the same time, it's part of a pattern. You being about to be born, men landing on the moon, and this being the dawn of the age of Aquarius, when peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. What I mean is I'm getting these really heavy vibrations telling me that space is where it's at for you two. Now there's all this money coming in at the moment. And your company says I can save tax on it if I put it towards your education. He says I could put you down for eating. Well, stuffy. There ain't any old Etonians landing on the moon tonight. What I'm going to do is put the money into a trust fund so as you can be trained up to be astronauts, the first citizens of the space age, the heavenly twins. Now, these guys on the moon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, it'll be like household names by the time you're listening to this. The thing is, if you're boys, that's what we could call you, knees and bug. Neil and Buzz. Well, now I don't have a lot of advice for you, get you through life and all that. But always remember one thing, don't bog out the joint. What am I looking at? And there's the leg of this, module thing, and, if something's happening, there's movement, there's a great boot coming down. I mean, this is it, man. Knees, Neil, is going to walk on the moon.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap for man.
Well, that's, more or less it, Peggy Sue.
There is some more, but it gets a bit incoherent.
Gee. Neil, Buzz, I want you to know that was a really warming experience, sincerely.
Yeah, well.
And your daddy raised you to be part of the space program, flying lessons before you could ride bicycles, trips to Florida to see the launches. Didn't it worry him there weren't any Brit astronauts?
Well, Dad wanted us all to live in the States, but Mum reckoned the place was full of nutters, and he'd get shot or we'd get kidnapped or something.
Well, he set his mind or something. Dad didn't recognize any obstacles. Nobody had the heart to tell him that his dreams were never likely to be fulfilled.
I guess it's kind of ironic that you probably would never have made it into space if it hadn't have been for the tragedy. And it's even more kind of ironic that someone as space-struck as your daddy should have been killed in the first falling satellite incident.
Yes. Yes, that point has been made. The irony may well have been lost on the other 1,200 casualties on Spaghetti Junction in the evening rush hour.
Well, how did he come to be there? Your daddy didn't live in that part of Britain, did he?
You could say his presence was kind of ironic, Peggy Sue. Now, Dad was making one of his big comebacks in the mid-80s. There were lots of 60s rock bands getting back on the road round about then. Mum insisted on going along with him, because she remembered what used to go on in the old days. They had some gigs lined up in the north, students, unions, and so on. He'd bought a new transit, had it airbrushed and everything. It was a sort of standing joke in the old days that when a better booking turned up late in the day, you rang the venue that had booked you first and told them you couldn't make it because the van had broken down just outside Wolverhampton. Dad was always pulling that stroke. Well, on his way up for the Great Northern Tour of 1985, it really happened. There he was, stranded on the Gravely Hill interchange of the M6. He got to a phone and rang the Lancaster University Entertainments Committee, and they laughed their socks off because they'd heard that one 100 times. Then he rejoined Mum in the transit up on this flyover overlooking the great West Midlands conurbation.
The rest is history. The Soviet Cosmos satellite had experienced orbital decay and re-entered the atmosphere at a very odd angle. Instead of burning up, it broke into very large lumps, moving at very high speed. The odds against those lumps landing in a populated area were, they told us, astronomical.
I remember the video. We played that video over and over again.
Yes, it was a real chart topper. That Japanese tourist on the M5 must have really had his wits about him. I'm sure Dad would have wanted a share of the royalties.
When the satellite recovery program got underway, I guess there was no way they could leave the Brits out of it after what happened to him. And there you were, the space orphans, the heavenly twins, all geared up for astronaut training.
We seem to have become public property. Well, whoever heard of a chartered accountant called Buzz? It doesn't conjure up financial competence and probity somehow, does it?
Oh, come on. You guys, you're doing a really worthwhile job for humanity and the free world. Listen, you know, I'd like to thank you for sharing this experience with me. I feel like a member of the A-team now, along with you.
Well, gang, we're going to get some shut-eye now. Another one of those mean old satellites to track down tomorrow.
Britannia, this is Control. Data for interception of satellite Perseid 14 copied to your onboard computer. Over.
Roger, Control. Pitch rotation complete. Over.
Roger, Britannia. We copy. You are go for orbital maneuvering system burn. Over.
Roger. OMS burn. Out.
We've never done it, Perseid.
Hey, why don't you fill us in on it, Peggy Sue? You're the specialist.
Oh, we cover most everything you need to know in training.
Well, we know what it looks like and how much mass it has and how big it is. Nobody seems to want to tell us what it does.
Well, it's just a standard multi-mission modular spacecraft with modules off the shelf, power pack, communications, attitude control, solar panels. You've seen them 100 times.
He wants to know about the payload section. Control, this is Britannia. We have OMS cutoff. Over.
Roger, Britannia. We will advise when you are go for burn number 2. Over.
Roger, Control. Out.
We're in elliptical orbit now, huh? And the next burn takes us into a circular orbit parallel to the satellite. Woo! Hey, now I'm up here. I want to learn how to fly this thing. Do you think they'd let me do a conversion course when I've chopped up a few more missions?
They're asking about the payload, Peggy Sue.
Well, in the instrument module. The satellite's malfunctioning. The tracking stations say it's in the early stages of orbital decay. All we gotta do is inspect it and either fix it or bring it home or lose it somewhere safe.
You know what we're asking. Is it military?
This isn't a military mission.
No, because we don't fly military missions. We catch satellites and other orbiting detritus before they fall on people's heads. We are cosmic dustmen. Everybody loves us and tips us at Christmas. If we were being used to service military satellites, there'd be trouble.
Hey, give me a break, fellas. Do they tell me everything? If the satellite's got sophisticated cameras, is it mapping the Earth's resources or spying on the Soviets? It all depends on who's pointing it and who's interpreting the data.
Britannia, this is Control. Coming up on OMS burn number 2. Over.
Roger. OMS 2. Out.
Oh!
Well, let me just tell you now, Peggy Sue. If Perseid 14 doesn't smell right to me, I'm going to strap a payload assist module on it and fire it into the atmosphere for a 100% burner. We're not here to do dirty tricks for Uncle Sam.
Sure thing, Neil. You're the commander.
We realize it looks better for you if we make a recovery, Peggy Sue, but we are in a very delicate position in terms of our international status.
No sweat, Buzz. I've got the diplomatic picture.
Control, this is Britannia. IMS cutoff. We are inserted into orbit number 2. Over.
Roger, Britannia. We copy. We have you at altitude 350 miles, orbiting parallel to Perseus 14. Good hunting. Out.
I have a signal bearing 280. Our velocity and altitude.
I copy that.
Instruct the autopilot for intercept.
Roger.
Control, this is Britannia. We have radar contact with orbiting body, believed to be Perseid 14. Ready for maneuver to inspect and confirm. Over.
Roger, Britannia. Out.
Execute.
Roger.
Peggy Sue, take a look at that screen. That's the signature for Perseid 14, right?
That's it, Neil.
Control, this is Britannia. We have confirmation of Perseid 14. Over.
There seems to be an anomaly in that signal.
Well, maybe that's a separate signal.
Do you think Perseid started breaking up?
If possible.
That's the air-to-air channel. Turn down the audio on the radar, Neil.
Roger. Who the hell's that?
Britannia, this is Sully 19. This is your oldest Russian friend.
Oh, no.
Are you receiving me over?
Well, we can't pretend to be out. You talk to him as your friend.
Negative, Commander. I may have to take over manually at any moment. Can't be distracted.
Britannia, this is Sully 19. Are you receiving me over?
Salyut 19, receiving you loud and clear. Over.
Ah, yes. I come over the horizon, the orbiting red star from the east, to greet my comrades in the name of peace, progress, and international brotherhood.
First of all.
Oh, you're kidding, huh? What? There's no way a cosmonaut in a space station would indulge in alcohol abuse.
Thank you, Yuri. Well, we extend our greetings, too, on behalf of the people of Great Britain.
Tell them the U.S. of A, too.
Yeah, and the United States. Over.
Oh, you have Americans in your crew. Well, I salute them in this, the 25th anniversary year of their historic landing on the moon. Although we never wanted to go there in the first place. So, is your mission proceeding successfully? Are there any tasks with which you require assistance? I have a Soyuz spacecraft docked here, ready to speed to your aid. Over.
We're just sweeping up some of mankind's technical achievements, Yuri, as usual. If we need anything, we'll let you know.
Yeah, we don't need any red snooping around here.
Yeah, and how are things with you, Yuri? Over.
Oh, my spine is lengthened by 1.5 centimeters since we last spoke. There is no end.
No, indeed. Any other discoveries from your prolonged stay in a zero-gravity environment? Over.
Yes. Our experimental workshops show that many substances can be synthesized in space at far less cost and at greater strength than on Earth. When we meet again, I will bring a bottle over.
Affirmative, Yuri.
I have visual contact going over to manual control.
Roger. We're going to work now, Yuri, so I'll sign off. We'll talk to you again. Out.
Where is it, Buzz?
12 o'clock high, flashing like a beacon.
Doing what?
I see it! It's Perseid 14, and it's mine!
Flashing? Where? Ah, got it!
I think we're getting the double signal because there are two separate bodies out there.
Take us right in close and fly around it.
Roger.
To summarize the position control, we're dealing with two objects here. The satellite itself, Perseid 14, and something a lot smaller, which we're calling 14B for the moment. Our assumption is that 14B is a part of the satellite that's broken loose. Over.
What are the recovery prospects, Neil? Over.
I'll let the mission specialist fill you in on that.
Control, we can bring the satellite itself aboard with our remote manipulation system, no problems. But 14B, the module or whatever it is, that's got a spin on it. It's rotating at around 9 degrees per second, which is too fast for the manipulator to get a hold on it.
Control, we don't see 14B as a hazard. Over.
Well, you're up there at the sharp end, Britannia. It's your decision. Over.
We'll be considering the options over lunch, Control. Out.
Hey, the dessert's great.
You notice that macaroni cheese hasn't appeared on the menu so far?
I guess not. I hadn't really given it a lot of thought.
Yes, well, I checked in the galley. It's not scheduled for this mission. He was winding me up.
I can't help it. It's my nature.
Yes. No frankfurters either this time. Beef with barbecue sauce. But you can't have everything your own way.
I hate to break this up, but could we discuss the mission?
That's what we're doing. It doesn't look like such a bad mission so far. I had visions of having to pounce about in a spacesuit, putting the thing back together again.
Does all this mean you've made up your minds? You've decided how you're going to handle this without any discussion?
Well, we can discuss it by all means, but I'm quite happy to pull the satellite on board and call it a day. It means leaving a bit of junk floating about, but there are upwards of 10,000 bits flying around up here. We can only be expected to deal with serious hazards.
The last thing I want to do is throw the rule book at you, but I am along on this trip as mission specialist.
Final decisions concerning the safety of the spacecraft and crew rest with the commander.
Sure, take the final decision when you've heard arguments from qualified subordinates, which means me.
All right, make your case.
Well, in principle, it's better to recover the whole damn thing, right?
Yes, but not if the last remaining bit of it costs a disproportionate amount in terms of risk and effort.
There's no way we can calculate that without having some idea what the module is that's got detached. Now, we could tell only so much from our fly around and by poking the camera and the remote manipulator arm at it. Like, we know it's not a solar panel or an antenna or an attitude control package, but it might be an instrument module. It could have some data useful to somebody tucked away on it. The only way to find out is extravehicular activity. Now, someone gets into a spacesuit, takes a close look at the satellite and the module, and works out whether it's junk or valuable. If it's junk, forget it. If it's interesting, then invest the real risk and effort to get a hold of it.
There's always hassle in doing an EVA, even if you're only looking.
Yes, I'm still not convinced.
Well, let me put it another way. My Auntie Betty, back in Climax, Michigan, is the chairperson of Interactive Retailing Incorporated, which is the major contributor to the campaign fund of the frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination in 1996. Right now, he's the senator chairing the Defense Appropriations Committee, which funds this program, and if my Auntie Betty tells him to, we'll nail your ass to the wall.
There's something to think about, Commander.
I think that's using a sledgehammer to crack a nut, quite frankly, Peggy Sue.
Look, this is the beginning of my career as an astronaut, Neil, and everything in that career is going to be 101% successful. Before the end of the century, manned interplanetary probes are going to be back on the agenda.
And there's no scientific justification.
The justification will be political and military. I'm going to be part of that program, preferably the head part. The person who leads a space fleet around one of the gas giants can come home and cash the glory in for a political career that has the stars for a ceiling. Now, right now, I can use a little of the prestige that rubs off you guys, but it's wearing thin. Keep a low profile and you can go on playing games and resting on your laurels like the rest of the island race. Make ways for me and I'll stomp all over you.
For what it's worth, I vote we give in.
I may be coming on a little strongly here. Look on the positive side, Neil. All I'm asking for is a little extra commitment.
Well, if you're determined to make a bloody nuisance of yourself on the issue, I'm willing to review my decision.
You won't regret this, Neil.
But all I'm agreeing to is an EVA to inspect the satellite and the module.
Oh, sure.
Options will then be reviewed in the light of the data acquired.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Don't worry about a thing. If I start breathing pure oxygen now, we can schedule the EVA in about 2.5 hours time.
Oh, no, Sunshine, you're not going on that.
Well, it's my idea. I'm the mission specialist.
And you're Auntie Betty's niece, as you pointed out so forcefully. And Auntie Betty has a lot of clout, according to you. So I don't want to have to explain to your Auntie Betty how you asphyxiated or exploded all over the inside of your spacesuit while playing about with a pile of junk in the service of your own deranged ambition.
Look, I've been trying to...
But you haven't got the experience. You're going to get your own way, but don't push your luck too far. This is an unplanned EVA, and there's always the chance of something unexpected.
Look, this is not fair. You just
nailed over this... No more arguments, Peggy Sue. Neil's the commander.
Okay, if Neil insists on doing it himself, that's fine, fine.
Oh, I'm not doing it. I'm the commander. I'm responsible for everything in the end. I can't go swanning off into the vacuum.
Oh.
So, if you'd like to start breathing pure oxygen, Buzz, old buddy... We'll schedule the EVA for 2.5 hours from now.
I'm going to come right in close and go around the satellite slowly. Over.
Roger, Buzz. Take your time. Out.
Buzz can really handle that maneuvering unit, huh, Neil?
He may be neurotic, but he's not incompetent. Roger, Buzz. Out. All right, what is that thing? Come on, smarty pants, out with it. What's it do? What's it for?
You can tell Buzz to relax. Nobody's going to burn that motor again.
Because it's not ground control, is that right? It controls itself. It's programmed to lock onto another object in orbit and maneuvering close to it, right?
Sure looks that way.
So, what we're looking at is a military satellite, a hunter-killer that tracks down enemy orbital spacecraft, creeps up to them and either blinds their electronics with a laser beam or blows them off alongside with itself.
Oh, there are no hunter-killer satellites, Neil. They're outlawed by the Arms Limitation Treaty.
Yeah, there are none that anybody owns up to. That doesn't mean they're not there.
Neil, I've looked all over this thing. There's nowhere the loose module could have come from. No unused mounting, no breakage, nothing. I think we have to stop thinking about Perseid 14B as a module. Over.
Affirmative. Give me a moment, Buzz. I'll be right back to you. Out.
Don't try anything physical, Neil. For one thing, I know three ways to crack your nuts before you lay a hand on me. And for another, wrestling around on a space shuttle flight deck in zero gravity is a really dumb and dangerous way to act.
Look, why don't I just open the downlink and tell Control what's going on here?
Because you don't know. And because you'd find it a little difficult to get through. The satellite that relays our downlink suffered a malfunction just after lunch today. Just for the moment, there's no way for you to talk to Control. It'll only last a couple of hours longer.
You've knocked out our satellite.
It's kind of had a shock is all it is. Don't dramatize.
Now, quite obviously, what's going on is some sort of covert operation on behalf of someone big. I mean, this clearly goes beyond the demands of even your insatiable ambition. And beyond the resources even of your Auntie Betty.
Why don't we just get on with our job, Neil, and bring Percy at 14 aboard, and then we can concentrate on 14B.
Oh, that's what this charade is all about. The so-called module that was never ever a part of the satellite. The thing that was orbiting all alone until Percy at 14 tracked it down and signaled its masters that it was ready for collection.
Believe me, Neil, we'll all end up a lot happier if you stop thinking about it and just get on and do it.
Why shouldn't I just bring Percy at 14 aboard and go home?
I hoped it wouldn't come to this, honey, but I can tell you with complete conviction that if I don't report the recovery of the satellite complete, which really means plus 14B, Britannia's re-entry will be subject to freak anomalies in microwave and radar guidance facilities. What I mean is all our contracts will be terminated. Now, rather than have that happen to me, Neil, I will put your light out, grab 14B any old way I can, and fly the ship home with the manual in one hand.
Will you please tell me what is going on? Over.
Everything is go for the recovery of Perseid 14, Buzz, which turns out to be a satellite with tracking facilities which has latched on to 14B for reasons which are not at the moment clear. So when we've got Perseid 14 aboard, we'll be looking at 14B with a view to recovering that.
Roger, Buzz, out. I think the securing of Percy at 14 was a really outstanding team effort. Should I pass that on to Buzz?
I think I'd leave it out for the moment.
Okay, if you insist on adopting a negative outlook.
And now I've got to look at the other thing. Over.
Affirmative, Buzz. The task is to inspect 14B with a view to recovery. Over.
And you don't know what it is. It's just something that was floating about until Percy at 14 came sniffing around it. Over.
I'll handle this one, Neil. Buzz, we don't know why the satellite homed in on this object. The only way to find out is to take a look at it and get it aboard if we can. That way we'll hopefully be solving future problems for ourselves and our buddies. Over.
Is it a bomb?
There are no orbital bombs, Buzz. They were outlawed by the Arms Limitation Treaties. Over.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz, I'm sorry to have to say this, but this just isn't the attitude that built an empire. Go and look at the goddamn thing. Over.
Okay. I'm approaching 14B. It's quite clearly not a part of any spacecraft I'm familiar with, and it looks as if it's intended for independent operation. I mean, there's a casing all around it. It's not a bit of a booster stage or a module or anything like that.
Buzz, you don't require it. Over.
Sorry, I was just looking at the markings on this thing as it rolls around. I don't know if they are markings. I'm talking about deeply incised lines. They could be where panels fit together. Could be access points. Or perhaps they mean something,
Neil, you've got to cut this crap and work out a recovery method.
Well, you wouldn't normally identify a spacecraft through incised lines, Buzz. I can't see how they'd be likely to mean anything. Over.
I'm trying to tell you that I'm looking at something I've never seen before. It's got no clues, no landmarks for me. I don't know why, but this object seems very old somehow. You get the feeling that this was put together by, well, let's say people who thought it might have to undergo unthinkable strains. Last for multiple lifetimes.
Neil, do we have a monitor and his oxygen supply? Is he cracking up?
That's why you might carve a message into the body of a thing like this. You do that with monuments, inscriptions that have to last for thousands of years. Over.
What are you trying to say, Buzz?
The symbols, identification marks, instructions that we paint on our spacecraft, they never last that long. Not on a really long journey, Neil. You wouldn't paint on your message for a trip like that. Well, we didn't. The Pioneer spacecraft that were launched in the 70s and finally left the solar system a few years ago had their symbols etched into their bodies. A man, a woman, our planet's position in the solar system, a diagram of the atom. You remember those pictures in the textbooks, do you?
Yes, Buzz.
Wildly optimistic, of course, to imagine that intelligent eyes would ever see them. Even more so to think that they would interpret them as they'd been interpreted.
Neil, this thing is not, repeat, not a Pioneer spacecraft.
No, that's not what he's saying.
Would indicate their presence by representing something simple and universal. The wavelength of hydrogen atoms or water molecules, 21 centimeters or 1.35. You remember, over?
Affirmative, Buzz. That's a long time since we thought about that. Over.
A long time since anybody thought about it. Space turned into an industrial suburb where you put satellite telephone exchanges and factories for making delicate crystals and spying cameras and the odd orbital bomb, whatever they tell us. Space stopped being the last frontier where we might hear the echoes of intelligent beings who were warmed by other stars who could be a million years dead before we knew they existed. We stopped listening, gave up hope. The lines etched into 14B, Neil, some of them are parallel, spaced regularly at 21 centimeters and 1.35. Give it some thought. That's what I'm doing. Out.
I thought I had this whole mission pretty well planned out, Neil, even down to some highly improbable contingencies. But one thing I did not anticipate was your brother losing 100% of his marbles.
Well, why should I put more faith in you than in his hunches? You haven't told me what 14B is all about. All I know is it's a very big secret. And an alien space probe orbiting the Earth would be about the biggest secret ever, wouldn't it? The powers that be, including your Auntie Betty's boyfriend in Washington, would want it kept strictly under wraps.
Buzz is talking through his ass, Neil.
Oh, what about the lines corresponding to wavelengths?
If you take a passage from Shakespeare, you can find a coded message that Francis Bacon wrote it, if that's what you're looking for. There are parallel lines, 1.35 and 21 centimeters apart, all over the ship, all over my apartment, all over any place you care to look. Not that it matters. Buzz can believe it's an alien spacecraft or a machine for making toasted sandwiches as long as he brings it back here.
Well, he's got to be handled very gently, I think. He's in a state where his emotional stability is a bit vulnerable.
Oh, you mean he might just sit there looking at it, hoping that when the sun's rays catch it at the right angle, he'll evolve into a human being?
Buzz, you've, certainly give us something to turn over in our minds here. We certainly don't intend to exclude any hypothesis at this moment in time.
I've never really understood up to now, I mean, what it all meant to Dad, why he got us into all this. You remember how I always wanted to break out, do something else? How resentful I've always been about being called Buzz?
Huh?
It wasn't as if Buzz Aldrin was really called Buzz. He was called Edwin.
Oh, tell him if he brings that thing home, I'll never call him anything but Edwin. Will that help?
I quiet. And then after the accident, after Mum and Dad died, I hated it even more.
Yes, I know, Buzz. I felt the same way.
But if this is the real thing, something that human beings never set eyes on before, contact from another race of
beings entirely, to be on the threshold of the most extraordinary event in human history, well, that would make sense of it. Make it all worthwhile. Over?
Yes. That would be something, wouldn't it? Well, what's got to be done, Buzz, is that we've got to recover 14B so that it can be examined back on Earth, and the relevant experts can form their opinions, and the responsible authorities can make the necessary decisions. How do you feel about that? Over.
It's not a matter of how I feel, is it? The point is, what did they want? How did they expect us to react? Not that they had us specifically in mind, of course, when we discovered
it.
When you think about it, a race that would launch a deep space probe would expect, eventually, to encounter creatures like themselves. That is, adventurous, inquisitive, outward-looking, whisk-faced.
He means anyone but the British.
They'd expect the sort of people they wanted to communicate with to come and find the new moon in their sky, to take hold of it, to see what it was made of. Maybe that's all they want. Maybe just taking a grip on it would trigger memory banks, learning programs, flood the brain of the intrepid investigator with new perceptions and experiences shared with a race millennia in advance of our own. I'm matching the object's speed of rotation. What I'm planning to do is to take hold of it and fix on a harness so that I can use the maneuvering system motors to kill the rotation. Then you can come in and grab it with the remote manipulating system. Of course, none of that may be necessary. Hold on.
No. Take it easy, Buzz.
Moving fractionally forward now. No sign of reaction from the object. Over.
Buzz, if you do trigger anything off, I think you should let go instantly and head back to Britannia. We don't know what we're playing around with. Over.
Negative, Neil. I'm writing this out, whatever happens. Over.
Well, then, I want you to keep talking to me, Buzz. I'm going to bring the Britannia in on top of you, and if there's any kind of feedback from the object, Peggy Sue will sweep you out of contact with it using the manipulator arm.
Neil, this is dumb.
Don't argue with me. Do it.
That's not the way, Neil. We have to take what they're offering on trust. How else can we begin something new? I'm putting my hand out to the object.
No, hold off until we're there.
He's 10 meters out of range of the arm. 8, 6. Four.
Making contact now.
Buzz, honey, I brought you some coffee. How are you feeling?
Bloody silly, of course. And you can stick your coffee in your ear. It's your fault.
Oh, I can empathize with you wanting to channel your hostility, but I never encouraged you to think that 14B was an alien space probe.
I don't know why you're looking at me like that.
You are an unmitigated louse, toad, and oaf. Call yourself a brother.
I took a very grave risk with my personal safety with my command to execute a difficult maneuver to save you. Possibly. As I imagined at the time.
He did do that, Buzz. It was kind of stupid, but he did it.
He was just winding me up again.
I wasn't.
She told you it wasn't an alien space probe. You let me go on thinking it was.
But I didn't believe her. I didn't know what to think. Still don't, actually. I mean, just because it didn't fill your head with the secrets of the universe in glorious technicolor as soon as you touched it, that doesn't mean it isn't an alien probe.
Well, it doesn't look very alien anymore, strapped down in the cargo bay. Apart from that, you didn't tell me she'd got us involved in a covert operation.
You don't appreciate the responsibilities of command. When you've got someone out on EVA, you can't go filling their heads with every detail that you happen to know.
Listen, I just hate to see you guys bickering between yourselves. Halfway into this mission, I'd written off the two of you as the usual work-shy, limey faggots, but I've learned a lot in the last couple of hours. You each exhibited some outstanding behavior during the recovery of Percy at 14B. Dumb behavior, but outstanding.
Britannia, this is Control. Are you receiving me? Come in, please. Over.
Control, this is Britannia. Receiving you loud and clear. Over.
That's good to hear your voice, Neil, old buddy. You must have thought we'd all gone to sleep on you down here.
We just assumed there was a malfunction on the downlink and got on with the job as best we could. Over.
Would you believe a tracking and data relay satellite closing down on us completely? We can only figure it out as some electromagnetic anomaly out there. But everything seems to be functioning okay now. We're transmitting data for tomorrow's re-entry direct to your computer right now. Maybe you could update us on the mission as of now. Over.
Roger, Control. I think our mission specialist should handle the update, so I'm handing you over to Peggy Sue.
Control, this is Britannia, mission specialist reporting. We have successfully completed the recovery of satellite Perseid 14. Complete. Repeat, complete. We got it all the bits and everything, nothing left behind. Do you read me?
We read you, Britannia. Perseid 14 recovered complete, received and understood. Congratulations on a successful first mission, Peggy Sue. Over.
Thank you, Control, but I guess it's all down to teamwork.
I owe a lot to my good buddies Neil and Buzz.
Daddy, we have a signal which indicates an object at orbital velocity on course to intercept you in just over 60 seconds, over.
We copy that, control, over.
There's nothing scheduled, Britannia. We suggest preparation for evasive action, over.
A manning flight deck immediately, control.
What is this, Neil?
Get strapped in. I'm going for an OMS burn.
Control, we may have to go for 180-degree rotation and an OMS burn. Can you compute that for us? Over.
Roger, Britannia. You realize that'll mean unscheduled re-entry. You probably don't have enough OMS reserves to return to orbital velocity.
We're being jammed! Damn it!
I'm going for 180 rotation and a burn. We'll have to take our chances on re-entry.
180 rotation, RCS firing.
Unidentified object, still on interception course. Deflecting slightly.
Cancel the OMS burn. If we're not going to hit it, it's not worth the risk.
Unidentified object now in close parallel orbit.
Anyone got visual contact?
No! This was the wrong way up and facing backwards.
Deliberate jamming, that's hostile.
There's not much we can do about that.
You don't think it could be them after all? That they've been waiting for someone to pick up the bait?
Neil, why don't we turn the ship around so we can take a look?
Yes, give us another 180 rotation, Buzz.
Roger.
Britannia, this is Soyuz 34. Greetings from your old and vastened friend. When you have finished your impressive display of aerobatics, please depressurize your airlock. I'm coming aboard. Over.
Yuri, we're reading airlock pressure at 10 psi and rising. Over.
Thank you, Neil. I am removing helmet.
Don't forget, you guys, this goes down in my book as treason.
Treason to whom? We are not committed to fighting the Cold War in space.
Anyway, we're not in a position to if we wanted to. The Soyuz has been docked with the Salyut space station since it got into orbit. They've got plenty of fuel. We need our remaining OMS reserves for re-entry. There is no chance of outrunning them.
We could have made some sort of fight for it. Let Yuri open the airlock hatch when it was fully pressurized. That would have blown him away. And rotate the ship to give the Soyuz a short OMS blast. If its tanks didn't explode, we'd have burned off some antenna, cut a few controls, blinded and crippled the bastard.
You're not well, Peggy Sue.
Yuri, you have 14.7 PSI in there. We can open up. Over.
Roger, Neil.
Greetings from the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. A small token of international brotherhood symbolizing the peaceful and progressive exploitation of the facilities of the cosmos. It's double distilled in zero gravity. Probably better you put water with them. And these are the first cucumbers grown from seed and pickled in orbit. We are on the threshold of a new era.
Thanks. Cheers, Tavarish.
This is your lovely companion from the United States, Peggy Sue.
It's Peggy. Take your hands off and explain this act of piracy.
What on earth can you mean? This is a fraternal gesture of international solidarity. I am deeply wounded that you should choose to defame an historic occasion with the warmongering vocabulary of the Pentagon.
You jammed our radio, Yuri.
You have suffered interference? But then your communication satellite went out of service completely today, I believe. Perhaps you should look for the cause of the problem there before being steamrolled into provocative allegations. And meanwhile, we shall be happy to pass on any messages to your control, and my comrade aboard the Soyuz is already informing Earth that you are safe and that we've come to assist you with your communications difficulties.
How do you mean we?
I guess he means there's another goddamn Cossack looting our cargo bay right now.
Is that right, Yuri?
I shall pass over the terminology used. There is, however, a Soviet cosmonaut inspecting your cargo bay. The doors were open.
They're always open while we're in orbit, Yuri, as you know very well. It isn't an invitation.
Wake up, you guys. The two of you can total this Mongol while I zap the one in the cargo bay with the manipulator on.
Peggy Sue, will you please take a grip on your aggression? Violence in space is unthinkably dangerous for everyone involved.
You mean you're just going to lie down and let yourselves be burgled?
Peggy Sue has a point, Yuri. You do seem to be flying in the face of civilized conventions and agreements on the peaceful exploitation of the cosmos.
Ah, no. Friends should not be inhibited by the niceties of the law, Neil. Put it this way. When we have recovered that which is ours,
We shall leave in peace and comradely feeling, just as we came.
Nothing in this ship has anything to do with you.
Are you telling the truth, Peggy Sue? 14B isn't a Soviet satellite?
No way! It belongs to Uncle Sam.
How can you expect us to believe you? You've been telling lies 19 to the dozen up to now.
If you told us what 14B is for, you might be able to convince us.
What it is a goddamn secret. That's why I don't want the Red Peril here to get his paws on it.
Oh, well, perhaps I can save you some embarrassment. The secret Peggy Sue is referring to is the fact that the United States launched a satellite in 1964 which contained no instruments, merely a transponder which would react to a certain coded signal. The orbit was never recorded. When a tracking station noticed it at any time during the next 30 years, it was assumed to be one of the thousands of items of detritus which soon came to litter the threshold of space. The satellite's payload was microfilm. But the secret evidence recorded on that microfilm is a secret no longer, Peggy Sue.
You're bluffing.
Oh? Now, if I mention the CIA, the FBI, Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, assorted emigre Cubans, will you tell the story? It is your country's secret history, after all, not mine.
Well, back in 1964, I guess things were a little fraught in the U.S. intelligence community. The assassination of President Kennedy the previous year had kicked over an ant's nest. The FBI turned up a whole stack of evidence showing how CIA operatives had been using Oswald, Ruby, a whole bunch of Cubans for all kinds of dirty tricks, disinformation, black propaganda, sabotage, you know. When the Cubans put out a contract on Kennedy after the Bay of Pigs fiasco, they did it using the contacts, the money, the expertise and equipment the CIA had given them. Well, this evidence was too embarrassing to make public. But the guys who put it together weren't about to destroy it either. It gave them a stranglehold over a whole range of personnel, not just big dealers, but young operatives who were likely to achieve high office over the next 20, 30 years.
Blackmail?
Well, not quite so gross, but similar. They wanted influence, the ability to extract political favors, which could be cashed in all kinds of ways for a long time to come. The problem was where to hide the dirty linen. Well, there didn't seem to be any archive safe enough, but a region was opening up, which was only likely to be visited by people with the strongest official approval, orbital space. So, for the next 30 years, the satellite archives circled the globe. The last of the senior FBI men who knew how to access the satellite through the coded signal died in 1990, and the mean son of a bitch took the code with him, leaving some very important people sweating over the chance that the satellite might be found by accident someday, especially with the satellite recovery program raking through the orbital rubbish.
Yes. Peggy Sue is reluctant to complete the story. But it must be obvious to you that one of those anxious men was in a position to institute a program, the Perseids series of satellites, which would render him secure. The Perseids were, you could say, automated safe crackers. They roamed through the orbiting debris of space, their microprocessors running through combinations of signals, until one, Perseid 14, got the response.
The man who sent up the Perseids was the chairman of the Defense Appropriations Committee, the front-runner for the presidential nomination in 1996.
Auntie Betty's boyfriend.
Yuri, how did the Soviets get to know about the satellite?
Oh, espionage. Imaginative interpretation of technical data. Brilliant logical deduction by men with the minds of grand masters of chess. But mostly from the microfilm in the satellite itself, which we picked up 4 months ago.
Holy!
So what the hell have I just dragged in from space? What did Percy at 14 track down? What is your mate stealing from our cargo bay?
It's Stalin's coffin.
Stalin's coffin?
No, wait. There's a nickname, of course, like Baden. You see, in 1956, Nikita Khrushchev denounced Stalin at the 20th Communist Party Congress, huh? For the purges he had carried out and for the cult of personality that had been erected around him. Well, of course, Khrushchev and his contemporaries had been implicated themselves.
in enforced collectivization and show trials and the post-war repression in Eastern Europe. Younger men could make those charges when the time was right. But Stalin had been a bureaucrat before all else. His grasp of organization and filing systems was unparalleled. The records he accumulated reached down to the involvement of the humblest provincial clerical worker, the most junior young pioneer in any excesses which had occurred. Here was material which would force the younger generation to let their elders die off peacefully for fear of what might be said about them. Now, in the year after the 20th Party Congress, the Soviet Union launched the world's first artificial satellite. And shortly after, a capsule containing an extensive microfilmed archive was put into orbit. It could only be identified by its automatic response to a coded signal. The Perseid satellite, running through combinations to find the U.S. space archive, found the code for ours.
Why has Stalin's coffin got parallel lines incised into it, 1.35 and 21 centimeters apart?
Oh, have you? I don't suppose the designers and manufacturers were told what they were making. I hope not, for their sake. Well, perhaps they were told they were working on a deep space probe. That an indication of the knowledge of the emission wavelengths of hydrogen and water molecules would show some observers distant in space and time that we were aware of certain universal features of the cosmos. Yes. Or perhaps it's a meaningless coincidence. The universe abounds in them.
Going back to our communications problems, Yuri, could your mission control in Moscow transmit independently computed re-entry data to us? Just as a backup, of course, in case something should go wrong.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. We monitor your communications very carefully. I think we know what is required. Yes, and now, I regret that my visit must come to an end. On your next mission, you must arrange a docking with my Salyut space station. It means progress has been made since you saw it last. The growth of the green mold has been restricted to only a few square meters.
Yes, well, we might be thinking about changing careers, actually, Yuri.
You think so? As you would say, after this little lot, chance would be a fine thing, my old cock sparrow.
Roger, Control. OMS engines are armed for de-orbit burn. Over.
Roger. OMS armed. No bugs in the downlink so far. Over.
We'll manage. Out.
Neil, Buzz, I just want to say you didn't really need to get your re-entry data copied from Moscow. I don't think they'll screw up our landing. That was kind of like a psychological incentive.
Will you get into trouble?
Well, it's kind of like a family matter. Auntie Betty's candidate isn't going to be too pleased that the Kremlin's got his CIA record. I guess he'll withdraw from the presidential contest. But it's not my fault.
You could hardly have done more. I'll let the computer check the Moscow data with what comes in from control all the same. I'm a naturally cautious person.
I think Yuri's right. They'll never let us retire from this game now. It's a lifetime of macaroni cheese in plastic bags.
Oh, hell, Buzz. When we get it together and fly around the gas giants, there'll be a whole new approach to dietary regimes. Well, if I get to go, I'm taking you guys with me.
Control, this is Britannia. Count down to deorbit burn ignition. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition.
In Orbital Decay by J.C. Wilson, the cast was Neil, Nigel Anthony, Buzz, Sean Arnold, Peggy Sue, Beth Porter, Yuri, Andrew Sachs, Control and Dad, Peter Marinka. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.